Hi, my name is Andrew, and this is your Daily Nerd Devo. So, for those of you who are aware of American football, last Sunday was the Super Bowl. My team, the Kansas City Chiefs, played, and lost, Super Bowl 55 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Side note, while writing this devotional, I wrote and deleted about 20 epithets about Tom Brady, the Buccaneers quarterback, out of the pain inflicted by him over 20 years on AFC teams, like mine. Those epithets will remain confined to my brain. This year was also just the second year that my eldest son has been taking an active interest in football. Year one, the Chiefs, behind the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, won Super Bowl 54, marking an end to 50 years of bad seasons and frustrating playoff failures. A side note, part two. Those failures are significant enough that where other fan bases have memories of famous playoff successes, which live on in iconic names, the Chiefs for years had iconic names for their failures. The no punt game, the forward progress game, and the kicker who shall not be named in certain parts of the city. The Chiefs in Super Bowl 54 finally had successes to go along with it. And some of the names in Chiefs Kingdom, yes, that's the proper name for the fan base, and now include The Run, 24-0, 20-10, Rose Bowl Right Parade, and of course, Jet Chip Wasp. That was all year one for my son. My son has never had to deal with playoff heartbreak. He's never had to deal with the fact that for every year, 31 out of 32 teams end their seasons in a position of failing to win the sport's highest trophy. And he's had a quarterback who's become iconic for success against adversity and for being able to overcome huge deficits. And so, as the game dragged on and time continued to run out, and the Chiefs had less and less time to complete the magical comeback that my son knew was going to happen, the reality of the situation began to set in. My son must have gone through all five stages of grief in a span of about 20 minutes, ending up absolutely bawling his eyes out in my arms as time expired. The sure deliverance that he knew was coming never came. His heart was broken by the fact that failure and defeat had finally become real. At times, we as Christians experience heartache of one kind or another. Our prayers seemingly go unanswered, whether it's for mundane things like sports teams, or more critical things, like the healing of an illness, or finding a job. It feels like God's expected outcome didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen the way that we wanted it to. We find ourselves asking, why, God? And at the same time, we can be told by fellow Christians that all we need to do is just trust God. The Bible has a sophisticated, almost paradoxical view of how to approach this situation. What God does is invite us into Him, to cling to Him in the midst of our grief, to bring our doubts and our pain to Him. David wrote multiple psalms talking about how isolated from God he felt. And that wouldn't be part of our language with God if he had not chosen to put it there. Moreover, we have a God who, having himself gone through the pain and suffering of this world, identifies with us on an extremely close level. One of Jesus' closest friends died, and John says that he wept. Grief and frustration is part of this world, and our God knows. Hebrews chapter 6 closes with the following lines. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. The writer of Hebrews here is talking about the fact that we can have confidence in our position and that God works all things to the good of those who love Him by our knowledge of the character of God. And Jesus is described in Revelation as faithful and true. We can accept and hold on to the grief and frustration, but at the same time temper it with the knowledge that God is still at work and that, like Bilbo in the hollow of the valley in Mirkwood, we just can't see how close the edge of the wood is. After the game, I reminded my son of the fact that his team still has Patrick Mahomes, who's a young and tremendously talented quarterback with an incredibly bright future. And while Mahomes is not the sure bet that Jesus is, at least as a Chiefs fan, he's going to be in as good a position as possible going forward from a rooting interest point of view. And we, as Christians, can take comfort in Jesus who knows and empathizes with us in the depths of our pains, even as we wrestle with the griefs of this world. That's all the time we have for today. If you want to hear more Nerdy Devos every weekday, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also come hang out with us on our Facebook group, The Nerd of God Squad. I'm Andrew for the Daily Nerd Devo, and remember to be awesome in the name of Christ. See you, Space Cowboy.